We're going to think together this morning about words found in the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. Jesus was by the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and there he met some fishermen, and this is what he said to them: "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We're in the midst of a time of mission, seeking to take the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to the people around us. It's a time of serious focus on a really important task to which God has called you. Jesus says to these men who were fishermen that he is going to send them out to fish for people, to bring them into God's kingdom. I wonder if you've been involved in pushing out the newspapers this past week, how you felt about it, how you thought about it. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I've got 50 newspapers to distribute, or 100, or whatever it might be. And you push them around, you think, oh, I'm glad that's done. And I won't have to do that for a while, because that's how we think of mission. We think about things we do occasionally, special things that we do. But Jesus is saying that what he calls us to do is regular, ongoing, continuous. These men weren't just occasionally involved in this task, they were involved in it all the time. When we were in North Wales as a church, we did a visitation every summer, every Monday evening, from the hour changing to the hour going back. And at the end of every year, we'd be working around our way around the area in three teams. And you'd get to a point where you did one road and you thought, right, we finish here this year and we start in the next road next year. And I was always sad, because as I looked at the next road, I thought, they won't hear anything about Jesus for another 6 to 9 months. Why are we stopping? Why are we not taking the gospel again and again to them? I really want to ask you this morning is how you think about your Christian faith, if you're a Christian this morning. Do you think of it as being, first of all, as a disciple, a follower of Jesus, the master and the teacher? And also as being called to a task, a special task. I think we're tempted sometimes to make a great deal of special events and great people. We love to hear great preachers, either in the flesh or on the online. We think of great churches. We think of times of great blessing, and that's where our focus is. But you know, in reality, those great preachers, great churches, great times of blessing are a very small part of the work of God's kingdom. And yet we tend to focus on them and think that that's where the really important work is done. And we perhaps concentrate too much on the greats. And one of the obvious things about these men who were disciples of Jesus is that they were ordinary men. Even after they'd been with Jesus for 3 years and seen him die and rise again to life, when they stood before the Sanhedrin, Peter and John, two of these men, they looked at them and they said, they're uneducated, ordinary men. They're just normal guys. They're not special guys. But Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of people. Following Jesus was going to change them, was going to change their skills. And it's important to be faithful in the little things. It's the little things that accumulate. When we lived in North Wales, we walked up Snowdon a number of times. And I remember the first time I went up with one of our sons, and we got to Penny Pass and we started to walk up what they call the pig track. And we set off with great enthusiasm. And after about half an hour, we were flagging and we stopped. And we'd pass this guy who was just sort of plodding along, going very slowly, very steadily. And we thought, oh, he's not going to get to the top before us. And we had a little rest. It was surprising. By the time we'd had our rest, he was quite a way ahead. And we got going again, and we rushed. And we overtook him again. And then we stopped, and he overtook us. And by the end, he was near the top a long time before us, because he was just going plod, plod, plod. And we were spurt, rest, spurt, rest. And it's the regular routine that really makes the difference. It's the little things that really matter. And these words are just reminding us of the basics of being a Christian. If somebody said to you, what does it mean to be a Christian? Would you say, it means to be a disciple of Jesus? We often explain our conversion more in terms of what Jesus preaches when he begins his kingdom. Repent and believe the good news. And we tell people how that happened. How we realize that we are sinful people and we need a savior. And we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness. But he calls us into relationship with him. And if I ask this, why do you do the things you do as a Christian? Is it because the church expects you to? Because the pastor expects you to? Because the elders expect you to? Because you want to do your bit alongside your fellow Christians? Or is it all part of your relationship with Jesus? It's all part of following him. Because what happens through the course of history is that Christianity morphs, changes into church, into organization, into meetings and expectations. And if we're not careful, we lose sight of Jesus, the one who calls us to follow him. And that's right at the heart of what he is doing here. He's calling these men to follow him. And when I preached last time a few weeks ago, we looked at the first encounter he had with them, as John tells us. This is a later encounter, a few months later. And this time they leave everything and follow him. But their commitment is not a special commitment because they were going to become apostles. It's really what is at the heart of being a Christian. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm a follower of him. And so it was a call to be committed to the Lord himself. Why do you do the things you do? Why do you long to make the good news of Jesus Christ known? Why do you want to take that good news to people who don't know him? Why does your heart break when you see our society in its lostness and its need? Why do you long that they might come to know the Lord Jesus? It's because of your relationship with him. That's what it's all about. And a congregation of people is just a congregation of people who know and love and follow Jesus. That's the big thing. That's what makes a matter, makes a difference. And so that's right at the heart of being a Christian. If you're not a Christian this morning, that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Not to be religious, to do religious things, but to be committed to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And we've got to remember that and cultivate that, because other things take his place and we lose our balance and we lose our focus and we lose our stability. And you see, sometimes we think about Christianity as our duty. We ought to do it. But when you think of it in terms of a relationship with Jesus, it just changes the whole perspective, because we're doing it for him. We're doing it for the one who loved us and gave himself for us, who loved us like no other. And nothing that we do for him is in any way comparable to what he did for us. And so Jesus graciously calls these men. What a wonderful invitation it is when he says to them, come, follow me. Come into a personal relationship with me. Walk with me. Talk with me. And these are just ordinary men. They're rugged men. They're fishermen on Galilee. It's a hard life. And one man says, the religion of our Lord Jesus Christ was not intended for the rich and learned alone. It was intended for all the world. And the majority of all the world will always be poor. And yet, through these people, the world was going to be overcome and won. And the honor and glory was going to belong to the Lord alone. Those who like making calculations say that by 2050, there will be 3 billion people in the world who profess to be Christian. Here's Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. And he calls a few fishermen. And he says, come, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of people. And they start fishing. Day by day, they start fishing for people. And an amazing work is done. It was a new perspective for them. Luke tells us about the situation in a He adds details to it. Because they were washing their nets, mending their nets, but they'd had a very unproductive night. Fishing at night was the right time to fish. That was a good time to catch them, but that night they'd caught nothing. And Jesus went to Simon and he said to him, "Would you push the boat out while I teach the people?" And so Jesus sat in the boat and Peter kept the boat in place, because boats don't just stay in the right place. Peter kept it there while Jesus taught the people who were on the shore. And then he said to Peter, "Launch out into the deep and let down the nets for a catch." And Peter said to him, "Master," he acknowledges the authority of Jesus, his word which means chief, boss, "we've worked hard all night. You know, you're a carpenter from Nazareth. We're fishermen. We've worked hard all night and we've caught nothing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they did so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. And they had to signal to their partners to bring another boat in. And they filled two whole boats with fish. And even then, the boats were beginning to sink. And Simon Peter fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." He knows he's in the presence of God. Something awesome has happened. Something that doesn't normally happen. It's the power of God. And they're astonished at the catch. And then Jesus says to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." What a wonderful encouragement to them. I don't know what two boatloads of fish were worth, but I should think it was a pretty bumper net to have. "We're going to be made. We've got more money than we've ever had before." And they left it all. And they left it with their father and the servants, and they followed Jesus, the Lord, the Master, the Chief, the Boss. And they gave their lives to him. And he says to them, "I'm going to make you to become fishers of men. You're going to catch people." How many people? Well, we've just caught a lot of fish, haven't we? And there is going to be blessing. There's going to be success. That's part of our problem. We don't really believe that because we're living in hard days. But they gave up all their earthly prospects and they responded to his call. Is that what you've done in becoming a Christian? You've not just sort of included Jesus in your list of priorities in life along the others, but he's Lord. He's the number one. In all things, he might have the preeminence. Later in his ministry, Jesus said, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." It's an uncompromising call. How much do I give up? Everything, that he might be all in all. When our hymn says, "Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, 'Christian, love me more, in our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, that we love him more than these.'" And so he calls us to himself, and he calls us to walk with him in the day-to-day experiences of life. It's not just here when we're gathered together like this, but it's tomorrow when in our homes, in our places of work or study, we're disciples of Jesus. And we're asking him to help us to become fishers of people, to catch people. We're following him. We're walking with him. It must have been a wonderful thing to walk with Jesus. You know, when you go walking with someone, you chat, don't you? Talk about all sorts of things as you walk. And for 3 years, they walked with him. They followed him. They listened to him. We've got some of those things recorded in the Gospels, but there are many more things than that. And we're told in the Old Testament, Enoch walked with God. Well, these men walked with the Lord. And he was their rabbi. He wanted them to be with him. And then he wanted to send them out to preach and to have authority. One man, an older commentator, says, "Christ selected rough mechanics. Persons not only destitute of learning, but inferior in capacity. That he might train them, or rather renew them by the power of his spirit, so as to excel the wise men of the world. He puts his treasure in earthen vessels." Why? that the glory might belong to him. That's why there's such a danger when we exalt people, even gifted people. These are just ordinary men, but they do extraordinary things when they respond to the call of Jesus to follow him, and that he will make them to be fishers of men. I wonder whether you think of your Christianity in that way. It's that I'm a follower of Jesus, and he's the center of it all. And that's why I do the things that I do. And that's why I feel, even when I've done everything, I'm still an unprofitable servant. Even when I've done everything I should, there's no credit to me, because I'm just responding to him. You know, they could have said there on the Sea of Galilee, "You want us to walk with you? Wow. What an amazing privilege." You know, sometimes you watch a football match and you see little children walking out in the kit, holding the hand of some well-known player. And they think it's amazing. In fact, they pay for the privilege of doing it. The Lord of glory says to these men, "Come, follow me, be with me for the next 3 years." What a privilege. How amazing that he should ask these ordinary guys. He didn't go to Jerusalem and choose some of the chief priests and some of those. He went to Galilee and found a few fishermen. He found Matthew, a tax collector, and Simon, a zealot, and so on. And he calls us into his kingdom. Do you consider it a privilege? It's interesting, because you hear the gospel, if you're not a Christian, do you think that somehow it's God telling you what you've got to do? It's all about God giving to us the most amazing privileges. So there's a call of personal commitment to Christ, but there was a call to personally engage in fishing for people. These men were fishermen. It was a suitable picture to have. And he's really saying to them, your priorities must be the same as mine. Because later in the passage, we read about Jesus healing many people one evening. And the next morning, there were more people waiting to be healed. And the disciples were excited and said, "They're all after you. They all want you to heal some more people." And they were really surprised when he said, "Well, I'm not going to them. Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come. I've come not to heal, but to preach, to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ." The book of Proverbs tells us that he who wins souls is wise. And in the book of Daniel, those who lead many to righteousness shall shine like the stars forever. Do you see yourself as called to that task? A fisher of people. Actually catching people alive, whereas fishermen kill them. Catching them alive for Jesus. Not tricking them, but seeking to bring them into the kingdom. Coming to know the same Savior we know. So we pray to that end. We live to that end. And we work to that end. We had a lovely lady who was a member of our church in North Wales. She'd been a Christian for many years. She was very well taught in the Bible. And she lived according to the teaching of the Bible. And one day she said, "You know, there's something that makes me very sad." She said, "I've never been used to bring anyone else to faith in Jesus." And she'd been a Christian for decades. And that can be true of many of us. We've been Christians for many years, but we've never fished for a person. We've never seen someone come to faith through our witness. And evangelism is fishing. It's not a hobby. It's a solemn calling. It's an honorable profession. And we're not to be afraid. That's what he says in Luke. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch people, taking them alive for him, seeking souls." Is that how we think as we follow Jesus? Because that's how he thinks. Come and heal them. No, I've come to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Because if you want to be a fisherman, you're going to learn to be a fisherman, then you have to learn from someone who knows what they're talking about. And he's saying to these men, "You don't know how to fish for people yet, but I'm going to teach you how to fish for people." I am probably one of the world's worst fishermen. When I was young, I had this idea I'd become a fisherman. I grabbed an old rod that somebody had given me, and I went down to Roth Park Lake, and I grabbed a few things I thought would help. And I had a feeling the fish would queue up to be caught. And I threw some ground bait down, and they really liked that. They ate it all. But when I put my hook in, they weren't interested. And I came home with nothing and decided fishing was not for me. But if fishing was to be for me, then I'd probably get a book and read about it. I'd go to the tackle shop and get the best possible tackle. And also I'd probably find some people who knew what they were doing and I'd learn from them. And then, of course, I've got to actually go and fish. And it's wonderful to be in the classroom, isn't it? You can get all the theory right, but the test comes when you actually get to do it. And Jesus is saying to these men, that's what's going to happen. I'm going to make you into fishers of men. We may make mistakes. That doesn't matter. The important thing is that we're fishing. That's what I wanted to ask you this morning. Are you fishing? Have you got something specific? You know, fishermen choose places to go. They get to know certain kinds of fish and how you fish for those certain kinds of fish, and they go to the places where those fish are found. And we're not like that, are we? But it's all part of being a follower of Jesus. It's not enough to say, I go to church. I go twice a Sunday. I go to the prayer meeting. What about the people out there? Are you catching people? That's what it's all about. 24/7, 365 days a year. That's what he's calling us to. It's part of following him. Because he was a fisher of people. You read in the Gospels, and all these people that Jesus encountered, what's his concern for all of them? That they might come to know him, that they might become followers, that they might know God. And he's going to make these untalented men to have abilities to catch people. I've heard people sometimes say, you know, I haven't got the gift of evangelism. It's not a gift. It's a calling for every single Christian. And he makes us become fishers. He teaches us how to do it. It's part of following him. He teaches them by his own example. Okay, watching Jesus, watching him encountering people. And how he respected the people he met. How he recognized their needs and their situation. How tender he was with people like the woman of Samaria. Like the paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda. And how he related to them. How the leper came to him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he says, I am willing. Be clean. And they watched how Jesus treated people. Even when he was rejected, he was gracious. On his way to Jerusalem, near the end of his life, he was rejected. His disciples were rejected by a Samaritan village. And they thought it would be a good idea to call down judgment on them for the way they had treated the disciples and Jesus. But he said, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. I came to save people, not to destroy them. They watched him. They watched his example. What's Jesus like? What would Jesus do with this person? How would he respond to them? And then he sent them out. He sent the 12 out on one occasion. He sent 70 people who were obviously not just the 12 disciples then. And they were learning to be fishers of men. And they went out and they proclaimed the gospel and then came back and reported to Jesus. And as he sent his disciples out at the end of his ministry, he gave them a promise. I will be with you always. You know, sometimes we've gone into parts of the area and the advice has been, well, don't go on your own. And that may be very wise, but we never go on our own. He's always there. He's always with us. And our prayer is, Lord, as you're with me, come to this home. Come to this person. Come to this family. Because it's no good being a fisherman if you don't catch fish. No good being a disciple of Jesus if we don't catch people for him with his help. In every way, we're dependent upon the Lord, and he gives us the skills we need. He helps us to develop them. But it's only in doing it that we develop the skills. We've been watching Andy Murray playing tennis these last couple of days and really enjoying him managing to play tennis and winning. And you can see him sort of coming back to remember how he used to do it. And he was a bit tentative in his first match. But then he got better and better as he got back into it. And you could see his old determination coming because he doesn't just play tennis, he wants to win. And that's what it's like when you're learning to win people. You feel a bit ham-fisted to begin with. But it's learning. It's developing the skills. And there are people that you can reach that nobody else can reach. There are people in your family which you're the one who can reach them. More than anybody else, there are friends and neighbors that you can reach. There are people you work with that you can reach. Do you pray, Lord, help me to become a fisher of men? Does our relationship with the Lord stir us to taking the gospel to those who have never heard of him? Just one thought as I close. the joy of the catch, the joy of seeing people come to faith. It's a wonderful thing when it happens. And you know, often those who've come to faith are the keenest to tell other people about the Lord. This isn't something which depends on seniority, how long you've been a Christian, how much you know about the Bible. It's a joy of knowing the Lord. We went on holiday some years ago with some friends to Anglesey, and we camped, and our friends had a boat, and we went down to get this boat ready to go out to sail. And we had a fishing rod, and as we were out on the bay there, one of our sons was holding onto the rod. We were out there for a while and nothing happened. And then suddenly a fish bit and the rod started to bend, and he held onto it and he managed to get it in. It was all of that size. You know, Margaret dealt with it and cooked it, and we all had about half a mouthful. But you know, that day he thought he would be a fisherman the rest of his life. He actually turned out that he liked cycling better. But fishing, catching fish. Nothing thrills us so much as seeing someone come to, even if we had just a little bit. You know, somebody says, somebody came to the church because you pushed a newspaper through their door. Really? One of the streets that I went on? How wonderful. Let's do another 500 houses. That's what it does, you see. The joy of the catch. Christianity is all about joy, and the joys of new people. You know, new babies are born into families. It's a wonderful, and everyone's happy for this little baby. And they're the most beautiful baby in the world. And we're so thrilled. And it's the joy of the catch. And do you pray, Lord, give me the joy of the first catch. And then the second. Then the third. Just imagine how that transforms a congregation. When we're all saying to the Lord, we're just rough mechanics. But make us to be fishers of men. When the 70 came back, they returned with joy. And Jesus said, well, that's good, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's the greatest thing to rejoice in, but the Lord had used them. And we're also told there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. We're involved with heaven here, with God and his purposes. The great invitation that Jesus extends to us is to become one of his disciples. Come, follow me. Have you heard that call? And are you following him? And as you follow him, you find out that he's got a passion for people, a longing that they will come to know him and to know God through him. And you begin to share that. You watch how he does it. And then you start to do it and say, Lord, that was a bit clumsy. Help me do it better next time. Help me to know how to relate to people. People who are like me and people who are different from me. And oh, please, please give me the joy of a catch. And we all rejoice together when that happens. And we say, he did it. It was all his doing. What a wonderful thing to be partners together with the Lord in this great task. Amen. Let's sing together now our closing hymn. It's from Christian Hymns, number 778. 778. Jesus calls us all the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me.